I need to tell you something I don't say very often. When I became a leader, I was terrified, not of the work, of being found out. I kept waiting for someone, my team probably, to look at me one day and realize I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, that I didn't actually belong in the room. I couldn't have told you who exactly they were. I just knew I was scared they'd see through me. And here's the thing. I'd done everything right. I earned the promotion. I had the experience. On paper, every box was checked. And I was still standing in front of my team some mornings thinking, today might be the day they figure it out. If you've ever felt that, welcome. You're not broken, you're not alone, and you're not faking it. Today, I'm telling you what that fear actually did to me, what I did about it, and the thing that finally made it quiet down. Welcome to The Unscripted Manager, the show for managers who were never given a script and are trying to figure out how to lead a team. I'm Veronica. Let's get into it. Here's what nobody tells you about becoming a leader for the first time. You don't walk in with a blank slate. You walk in carrying every leader you've ever worked for, the great ones and the not so great ones. And without realizing it, you're measuring yourself against all of them at once, or trying to be them, or desperately trying not to be them. I had leaders I loved working for. I could feel it, the way they made me want to do better, the way I trusted them without having to think about it, the way they saw something in me before I saw it in myself. And I had leaders who left a different mark. I remembered exactly how those leaders made me feel too. The ones who made decisions I didn't respect, the ones who didn't see their people, the ones who were technically in charge, but couldn't really tell you what drove anyone on their team. So there I was, brand new to leading people, holding both of those templates at once, with absolutely no idea which one I actually was. That uncertainty is what imposter syndrome feeds on. And if you think this is just a new manager problem, hear this. A 2024 Korn Ferry survey of more than 10,000 professionals found that 71% of CEOs experience imposter syndrome in their role. 71%. These are people running organizations, sitting in boardrooms, with decades of experience behind them. This is not a beginner problem. This is a leadership problem, one that almost never gets named out loud, which is exactly why it does so much damage in the quiet. For me, it didn't look like obvious panic. It was subtler than that. And honestly, subtler is more dangerous because it's easier to rationalize. It looked like overanalyzing everything, every conversation with a team member, every decision, every moment in a meeting where I spoke up or chose not. I was replaying all of it, checking it, second guessing whether I'd handled it the right way. It was exhausting and it was constant. And if I'm being honest, there was something else happening too. I was treating my relationships the way I treated my personal relationships, bringing the same patterns, the same fears, the same need for validation that I'd developed before I ever stepped into a leadership role. That's actually a whole separate topic, how the way we show up personally bleeds into how we lead, and it deserves its own episode. I want to name it here because it was part of what made that season so heavy. I wasn't just leading. I was simultaneously managing my own anxiety about whether I was doing it right, in real time, in front of people who were counting on me. And the cost of that? Bandwidth, presence, the ability to see the people on my team instead of monitoring myself. You cannot fully focus on developing someone else when half your mental energy is spent analyzing your own performance. That's not just a personal drain. It's a leadership failure. One that imposter syndrome quietly engineers without your permission. Here's what changed everything. I stopped trying to figure out who I was as a leader through sheer willpower, and I built a structure instead. This sounds simple. It wasn't, because willpower felt like the right answer for a long time. Work harder. Think clearer. Just decide to be more confident. Things we've talked about in previous episodes. If I could just get my head right, the fear would go away. But that's not how it works. Willpower is not a leadership strategy. It's a depleting resource. And trying to lead through imposter syndrome on willpower alone is like trying to drive a car across the country without stopping for gas. You might make it farther than you expected, but you will run out before the finish line. Structure is different. Structure doesn't require you to feel confident. It requires you to follow a process. And when you follow a good process consistently, two things happen that I wasn't expecting. First, the fear gets quieter, not gone, but quieter. because the ambiguity that was feeding it starts to shrink. You have something to reach for when you don't know what to do next. You're not guessing anymore. And second, you start to become the leader you want it to be, not because you're copying the leaders you admired, but because the structure pulls those behaviors out of you naturally, consistently, on purpose, instead of by accident. And at the same time, I could finally see clearly why the leaders I didn't want to become had missed the mark. It wasn't that they were bad people. They just never had a structure either. They were guessing too, and their fear showed up differently than mine in micromanagement or checked out distance or the kind of approval seeking that gets mistaken for collaboration. That's the moment this stopped being a personal survival tool, because if structure could do this much for me, it could do it for someone else. And that's where fuel came from. I want to pause for a second. Let's do an activity. I want you to think about two leaders who shaped you, one you loved working for and one you didn't. For each person, write down one specific behavior, not a feeling, a behavior, something they actually did. So on one side, I want leader that I loved. And what did they do? And then on the other side, leader that I didn't. And what did they do? Now, answer these two questions honestly. Do I have a consistent structure that produces the behaviors I admired in the first leader? Not sometimes, consistently, regardless of how I feel on a given day. Second question, am I at risk of the same blind spots as the second leader? Not because I'm like them, but because I also don't have a structure that prevents those behaviors. There is no judgment in these answers. It's just data. Your answers tell you exactly where you are and where fuel can take you. Here's what I want you to understand about why the fuel framework works specifically for imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome thrives in ambiguity. It gets loud exactly when you don't have a clear answer for what am I even supposed to be doing right now as a leader? The fear rushes into every open question you can't answer. And for new managers or even experienced ones who were promoted without real development, there are a lot of open questions. Fuel replaces that ambiguity with a template. We talked about this previously, but I want to remind you again of the different pillars. F is for focus, your motivation engine. When you don't know what to do in a conversation, focus gives you a starting point. Understand what actually drives this person, what energizes them, what drains them, what they need from you right now. That question alone eliminates half the guessing. You're not walking in blind. You're walking in curious with a direction. Unlock your skill development engine. Imposter syndrome often shows up as, I don't know if I'm actually helping this person grow. Unlock answers that. It's the practice of identifying what someone is capable of that they haven't fully accessed yet and building a deliberate path to develop it, not hoping it happens, but engineering it. When you have an unlocked plan for someone, you're not wondering if you are a real leader. You're being one. Engage your collaborative engine. This is the pillar that quieted the overanalyzing for me. Because engage is about how you show up in the relationship, how you create the conditions where your team actually wants to bring their best. When I had a framework for what that looked like, I stopped replaying conversations, wondering if I'd said the right thing. I had a standard I was working toward. That's not perfectionism. That's intention. And intention is the opposite of faking it. Leverage is your accountability engine. This is the one that broke the yes habit for me. I'm sure we're all familiar with the yes habit. It's when someone comes to you and asks you if you can do it and your answer is naturally yes. And then you end up signing up your team for a lot. Leverage is where you match the right person to the right work and hold the outcome without doing the work yourself. When you have a leverage practice, the fear of being found out gets replaced by something more powerful. Evidence. Evidence that you can drive results through other people. Evidence that you're not doing the work. You're developing the people who do it. That is the job of leadership. And the fuel framework makes it repeatable. A process doesn't feel like faking it. It feels like leading. And once you have that feeling, once you know what you're doing in any given moment and why, the fear has nowhere to live. All right, let's come back to those templates for a second. The leaders you admired and the ones you didn't. Here's something I've come to believe. Most leaders who miss the mark aren't missing it on purpose. They're not choosing to be disconnected from their team or to micromanage or to make decisions that don't serve anyone's growth. They're doing what they know. They're guessing. They're leading on willpower and hoping it lands somewhere close to right. The leaders you loved, I'd bet most of them had a structure, even if they couldn't name it, even if it wasn't formalized into a framework. They had a consistent way of showing up, a reliable approach to the people they were responsible for, something underneath the surface that made their leadership feel like something you could count on. That's not a personality type. It's a practice, and practices can be built. This is the belief underneath everything I do. Leaders can be developed, not just the ones who seem naturally gifted at it. Every manager who is willing to build a structure and follow it. I know this because I was developed. I didn't start out confident. I started out scared and overanalyzing and borrowing pieces of leaders I admired and hoping I'd land somewhere decent. The structure is what got me there on purpose, and that's what I want for you. Here's what I want you to do this week. Go back to your leadership template inventory from the practice break we did earlier. Or you can do it right now if you skipped it. Look at the two behaviors you wrote down, one you admired and one you want to avoid. Now ask yourself one honest question. Do I have a structure that consistently produces the behavior I admired, not when I'm feeling good, not when things are easy, but consistently as a practice? If the answer is yes, you're already building something real. Keep going. But if the answer is no, or I'm not sure, don't consider that a failure. That's information that tells you exactly what you need next. And that's what fuel is for. So one more thing before we close. I'm putting this all into a book, Fuel, A Leadership System for Developing People and Driving Results. It's coming out very soon. And when it drops, you will be the first to know. Everything I've been sharing in these episodes, the framework, the structures, it's all in there in a format you can carry with you and come back to. So I want you to keep an eye out for it. Next week, I'm getting specific. I'm talking about the exact way I over-indexed as a new leader, the specific thing I kept doing that felt like I was doing the right thing, but was actually getting in my way, and how fuel helped me course correct. If you've ever wondered whether a tendency that got you promoted might also be a liability now that you're leading people, this episode is going to hit close to home. Here's the takeaway I want you to hold today. The investment your company makes in you will never automatically translate into confidence. That's not something that gets handed to you with a new title. Confidence in leadership comes from knowing what you're doing and why. And the fastest path to that is structure, not willpower, not inspiration, not waiting until you feel ready. The fear doesn't mean you're not cut out for this. It means you're leading without a structure. That's fixable. I'm proof of that. If today's episode describes something you've lived, if any part of this felt like I was talking directly to you, I want to hear about it. Tell me in the comments. You can also find me on Instagram and YouTube at The Unscripted Manager. I read every message and I do respond. This is a real community and your experience matters here. So it's my birthday month and I want to give you all a gift. I created an online profile quiz called The True North Leadership Profile. It's 5 minutes, 20 questions, instant results. Link is in the description. Take it with you in mind. It shows you exactly how you're showing up right now and gives you a personalized starting point for your own fuel structure. And as for gifts for me, the best gift you can give me is to like, comment, and subscribe. We are building a community here, and I want you to be a part of it. This has been The Unscripted Manager. I'm Veronica. See you next time.